Yes, I will take the apologies after this. Let me just confirm. The committee secretary is assuring me that we are fine. We can go ahead. Thank you so much, Brian. All right, be that as it may, the agenda is before you. There is essentially three items for the meeting, and the other item is for the committee when we deal with the minutes. is a briefing by the Department of Defense on their first quarterly report 2019, a briefing by the Department of Military Veterans on their first quarterly report 2019, and then we consider the feedback on the recommendations made by the portfolio committee in its budget report 2019. Those recommendations were tabled in the House and became the resolution of the House. So we are following through those resolutions. That's item number 5. I'm talking about, and then item number 6 is the consideration and adoption of the minutes of the committee. I think we have about five sets of minutes that we must consider today, and then the last item is the adoption of the 2019 third term program. That takes care of the items on the agenda today. But before that, let me check if there are any apologies. Thanks. I have an apology from the Honourable Minister. It's been tabled. Thanks, Brian. Are there any other apologies from the committee side? Any other apology, colleagues?
Honorable DJ is a bit late, but he's coming to the meeting.
Thanks, Honorable Mutle. JJ is a bit late. All right, that takes care of the apologies from the side of the committee. Can I entertain the apologies from the side of the department? Welcome, Honorable Deputy Minister. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I need to apologize for the Secretary for Defense, Dr. Kulube. He's engaged on the DEFCON. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That takes care of the apologies. And that too is from both the Department of Defense and the Department of General Ngwebi. Is there any apology from the DMV?
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to honourable members. From the DMV, there are no apologies, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Now, we have limited time. It is a sitting this afternoon. So let me then invite the department to do its quarterly presentation and the 2019 over to you, CFO. I'm sure before that, let me ask the minister, the deputy minister, to say a few words before you come in. Deputy minister, you may want to preface with your remarks the presentation. We're dealing with the first quarter report. Thanks.
Chair, thank you very much, and to committee members, good morning. As already indicated, Chair, the minister is in cabinet. She won't be with us this morning. The department is going to present to the committee the quarterly report of the department against the annual plans of the department. It's a simple and straightforward story. Committee members will see for themselves the performance of the department in the different areas. Easy to track where there are challenges, and easy to establish where things are unfolding as anticipated when we started this financial year. I will hand over to the department to take you through that report.
Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister. General Ramazwane will take us through to the presentation, and thereafter we will entertain the questions from the honourable members. Thank you.
General, take us through.
Thanks, CFO. Thanks, Chairperson. I'm going to go through the presentation of the department, which is a quarterly report of the Department of Defense starting the 1st of April to the 30th of June, being the first quarter of the financial year which we are going to be dealing with. The first thing that I would like to talk about, firstly, is the scope of the presentation, and the scope is we'll start firstly with the legislative requirements, and then we're going to move over to the performance indicators, and then the strategic overview of the Department of Defense that will include the issues as indicated in the slide. Then we will indicate the mandate achievement and selected performance indicators, the performance status, as well as the financial performance information. Starting off, Chairperson, honorable members, with the legislative requirements, start off with the provisions of the PFMA, where it starts with Section 38 of the PFMA and the certain expectations which has got to be fulfilled by the accounting officer, and the first one, therefore, being that the accounting officer must ensure that the department has and maintains effective, efficient, and transparent systems of financial and risk management and internal control, and also a system of internal audit. And the second one is provided, therefore, by the Treasury regulations, and it's states that the accounting officer of an institution must establish procedures for quarterly reporting to the executive authority and to facilitate effective performance monitoring and evaluation, and therefore to make use of the quarterly reports to ensure corrective actions moving forward. And then the next one, Chairperson, what we have is the revised framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans, wherein it is stated, therefore, that reporting is a vital component of the monitoring process, and therefore it entails tracking progress against the plan, and it improves accountability for delivery on the priorities of government and provides focus on the use of allocated budget by the institutions. And it also provides an opportunity for institutions to indicate measures that will be taken to ensure that implementation of plans remains on track. And therefore, Chairperson, in as far as quarterly performance reports, they provide progress on the implementation of the institution's annual performance plan. So in this report, solely based on the annual performance plans, as per the performance indicators which has been determined by the department to be those that are within the quarterlies. There is also guidelines that were provided to the department coming from DPM&E, and these are the guidelines for the preparation of quarterly performance reports, and they indicate the fact that the information that's being provided in this quarter is preliminary, submitted within 30 days, and after the end of the quarter, an actual information must be submitted with preliminary data of the next quarter. And then there is also the DoD quarterly performance report instruction, which has been dated the 27th of March 2019, and this gives effect to legislative framework applicable to quarterly performance report and provide DOD unique guidelines in terms of quarterly reporting. There is something that we call the Declaration on Accuracy and Completeness, which is as documented within the instruction of the Department of Defense, and that is to hold services and divisions to declare the accuracy and completeness of the performance information which is being reported in that particular quarter. And if we move forward, Chairperson, I'm on slide number 8, it is about the analysis of DOD performance in indicators. We are reporting on, and this financial year, on 78 public performance indicators. And therefore, the following figures provide an analysis on public indicators per entity, per DOD public performance indicator targets per quarter, as well as within the main program per quarter. And I'll move forward. The diagrams that are indicated below, I'm going to explain them one by one in the following slides. And that is now on slide number 9, wherein in slide number 9, what we have is those performance indicators of the DOD per entity. What we have, firstly, starting from the ministry, we've got 12 performance indicators there. We go to the organs of state. The organs of state, in this case, we're talking the Defense Force Service Commission. It is the Military Ombud and the Reserve Force Council. It is those three organs of state that we have. Then is the Defense Secretariat with 23 performance indicators and the SANDF performance indicators that are 40. Moving on to the next slide, where we speak about the targets themselves for the quarter of the DOD. Looking at quarter one, we are going to be reporting today on 24 targets that are, these are the ones that are in the first quarter, and in quarter two we've got 27, quarter three, 21, and then in quarter four we're going to be reporting, Chairperson, honorable members, on 68 performance targets of the department. Moving on to slide number 11, the public performance indicators per program are as indicated. What we see on the right-hand side of the circle is we've got administration programs that are about 55 of those. And those administrative programs are in the main supporting those targets that are on the left. What you find in those administrative programs is, for example, your legal services, the legal services support, the programs on the right for the department. We then have, after the administration, then it is forced employment that has got 5 of those targets, landward defense with 2, air defense with 3, maritime defense with 3, military health with 2, defense intelligence with 2, and the general support program that has got 6 of those performance indicators, and therefore summarized in slide number 12, Chairperson, where in that slide number 12, we're talking about the main program within the DOD and per quarter. As we look at the quarter one, that we're talking about the 24 of those performance targets. Now, moving on to the quarter one strategic overview, the first thing that we want to talk about is the defense review. I think honorable members will be aware with the status in terms of the defense review at this point in time. And I'll move on to slide number 15, that speaks about the funding in terms of the defense review, where defense capabilities are in a state of decline due to, of course, the no funding at this point in time of the defense review itself. And the stability that we can attain in terms of the arrest of the decline is by means of injecting some cash flow into the defense review, in particular, where the defense review is in relation to the arrest of the deadline of the department. Therefore, we are fully dependent on improved funding for the DOD in order to arrest the deadline. Moving on, Chairperson, slide number 16, where we're talking about corporate human resource status. We've got an average strength as per the first quarter in the DOD, which was just under 75,000, as indicated in the slide, and the cost of the human resource as projected by the DOD was at 32 billion, and resulting at this point in time, we've got a shortfall given the ceiling that was imposed to the DOD. We've got a shortfall of about 2.9 billion in the first quarter. And therefore then, Chairperson, what is indicated in the table below is just what I've already explained, that if we look at the column that's talking about 1920, which is the in-year, the budgeted for, the projected 32 billion, and then the revised as per the allocation that we got, which is 29.1 billion, and the reduction of 2.8 billion, which amounts to a percentage reduction of about 8.7 billion rand. I'll leave the outer years, but equally in the outer years, as we can see, there is also in that environment a shortfall of which then is indicated in the region of about 3.3%, 3.3%, and 4.4% in the last year of the 2019 MTEF. Chairperson, the ongoing reduction on the compensation of employees, what it is doing, it presupposes that the DoD must reduce on its personnel strength. And this is something that is a bit problematic to the department in the sense that you do have the people, but what you are funded for is less than what you are able to pay the people that you have in your strength. And therefore then the imposed compensation of employees budget ceiling, it didn't take into account as well the commitments of the Department of Defense, current operations and exercises for which trained uniformed personnel are required to assure success. The compensation of employee budget allocation, it did not allow the DoD the opportunity to assess the most appropriate means for rejuvenation, and since mechanisms considered are unfunded. Should we want to rejuvenate the Department of Defense, at least there must be some available funds for us to do this. But at this point in time, as we are moving with the cut on the compensation of employees, that as well becomes very difficult. And therefore, then, Chairperson, we as the Department of Defense, we will have to maintain a strength of about 75,500 together with planned reserve force mandates of 2.6 million to execute the DoD's mandate over the MTEF. And this is one of the areas that was indicated by members of the committee as per the BRRR, in which we have responded to it in the same way that it is appearing in the slide. And in order to ensure that we can address the attrition, we are planning for an intake of 1,900, just under 2,000 of the intake come January next year when we do the intakes or the new intakes within the Department of Defense. Chairperson, the defense industry strategy was also tabled and approved by the NDIC members, and a submission was made to the Private-Public Growth Initiative to be included into national imperatives. And the National Defense Industry Workstream 1 is currently busy with the refining of the alternative funding model to be completed by August 2019. And the DoD endeavored to ensure compliance with the PFMA and National Treasury Instruction Note 34 requiring to pay suppliers within 30 days of receipt of legitimate invoices. So far, the payment in the first quarter with regards to this amounted to 75.7%. The payment of in this case, legitimate invoices. We still have the legacy financial system, which of course it makes it difficult for us to be able to achieve a payment, partly contributing to us not being able to achieve a full payment as we would have liked to do it. Then the other factor, Chairperson, as we're dealing with corporate governance and accountability, is an area of serious concern, and this area talks to the strategic defense, it talks to the special defense account, wherein the department has incurred a reduction of about 5 billion in 2021. And we keep on raising this matter in every forum where we find ourselves in, because this is key in the sense that we already have progress that are ongoing at this point in time in the Department of Defense. And removing 5 billion, there is a lot of implications that are going with that. And some of these implications, of course, would be litigation. And except for that, we are having sovereign defense industry, and what are the chances of its survival? It's sovereign because of the fact that it is an industry that is responsible to support the Department of Defense with regards to its major weapon systems. That's one. But two, it is sovereign in the sense that it bears the responsibility of maintaining the weapon systems that we have, it being the original equipment manufacturer of the South African National Defense Force. And therefore, it is a sovereign capability for South Africa. There is also a risk aligned to that, Chairperson. There's also a risk of the Defense Evaluation and Research Institute that may cease to exist due to the fact that there is no longer funding allocated to this institute. Just to give the Chairperson and honorable members an example, if you talk landward defense capabilities, these are the capabilities that are vested within the South African Army. And if you talk about aerospace, you want to talk about the Air Force. That research capability rests within the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. And you also have, by the way, within the maritime environment, where you've got the Institute for Maritime Technology. This just to cite some of the examples on what we are talking about in this particular slide. I've spoken, Chairperson, on slide number 20. That's where I am. Spoken about sovereign defense industry capability, and we know the state with regards to our sovereign defense industry. And we're making that point once again to say that we think this is an area of concern, and it should be an area of concern to all of us, should be an area of concern, of course, for South Africa, and the cash flow problems that exist in that particular environment. And we are experiencing at this point in time, Chairperson, I think if one would say that the delays in terms of the delivery of the weapon systems that we would have wanted, that they are delivered at that point in time. So our sovereign defense industry is a serious concern, and the fact that we've been cut with that amount of money in financial year 2021 is also one of the major concerns that we are of the view that it needs to be addressed. We know to the recent developments, of course, as they relate to DINEL. If Chairperson wants to talk about the command of forces, we are involved at this point in time with regards to outcome 11, which is about a better South Africa and contributing to a better and safer Africa in a better world. And in this regard, we are involved in the United Nations missions. We are deployed in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and we are involved in long-range maritime patrols, which is up to the Mozambique Channel. We have deployed a vessel at this point in time sailing and right up to the Mozambique Channel to execute the maritime strategy, which is counter-piracy operations in support of the Mozambicans as well. We provided general military assistance, Chairperson, in the last quarter to Eswatini, as indicated in that particular last bullet of the slide. Chairperson, outcome 3, which is slide number 22, and it talks to all people in South Africa are and feel safe, wherein we have deployed 15 subunits in the borderline. And Chairperson, if we were to say that what other efforts are we doing once we having 15 subunits that are deployed in our borders and knowing the challenges with regards to our borderline, and to say what are we doing with this at least to change the status quo. Chairperson, we have as a department been knocking on all doors and so to say that including reporting to the committee in this regard, to say the fact that there is a need to upscale on this. And the way we can do so to upscale to the required number as appreciated is to get some additional injection into this so that we are able to deploy. Now, the issue is, if we were to say we are moving over, Chairperson, to 22 subunits as an example, what the 22 subunits entails? Because we are now at 15, so you need 7 additional. Now, what that 7 additional means, it means that you are essentially going to need 7 that are currently deployed additionally to 15, then you've got 22. But at the same time, on the 7, you need 7 that are in their home base, in their unit, that are preparing to go and relieve the others. So it's not just the seven that is deployed. And when they are relieving the others, you need the seven that are going to be preparing as well to be following up. So it is actually a three-in-one ratio that we are talking about. So there is a need for us to look into this. And I think the committee has indicated to us before the use of technology in this regard. It is one of the areas that I think what we have done at this point in time is that we have concluded a strategy on border safeguarding, and we have linked that to looking over into the strategy that would be talking to the issues about census, and of course, Chairperson, all of these things, they require funding if we are to do this. Now, if you ask the department to say, now fine, do you have the cost in relation to this? The costs are available, and we just want to indicate, I think, in the BRRR document which the Chairperson referred to before the start of the meeting, in that document we have indicated the cost implications as they relate to this, and this would be found in the page C4 of the document, and it is clearly stated to say what is it that is required in terms of moving forward. Chairperson, I have spoken about, we do... The last bullet in there, I just want to emphasize, what is this last bullet referring to? I spoke about long-range patrols. But in that last bullet, we're talking about the issues as they relate to coastal patrols in this regard. You would ask, where is the Western Cape? Clearly, we didn't include the Western Cape in this, and the reason for that being that we are dealing with the first quarter. And the Western Cape would know that we have deployed in the Western Cape on the 12th of July. So it falls outside the quota, Chairperson, but we are in the Western Cape. I think what we can share for now is the fact that, which is already known, reported in the media as well, is the fact that there is an extension in that regard. Chairperson, I am on slide number 23 that talks about operational successes. The operational successes is we have provided there. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if I must count. These are statistics. And as we can see, one thing that I need, we do find weapons. And there they are indicated in the first quarter. I mean, 8 weapons is just too many of the weapons that you have there. Because once you have 8 weapons, how many are where, lingering around? Clearly, that would be a serious concern. So we do find those weapons. And that is, therefore, one of the areas that we have in the borderline, Chairperson, we are able to say to you, the most problematic border areas, where are they in the country? Still continuing with the commando forces, Chairperson, we are currently involved in a number of operations in support of the people of South Africa. We have deployed a team that is in Lizawota local municipality. I think honorable members are aware of this one, and we have rendered search and rescue. We are currently as well in the Vaal in this regard. Search and rescue by through the South African Air Force in a number of areas. I think one of them was where they had rescued some fishing boats that disappeared and could not be found, and then the Air Force was there to assist. We have been deployed, Chairperson, honorable members, in Mozambique and in Malawi. That one is known. And the other thing is that we're getting a lot of requests in terms of the need to support the people, especially in areas where communities were separated for other reasons, i.e. in building of bridges, where those bridges would be connecting communities. There's 9 of those requests, and what we have done, we've completed at least 2 of those on the 17th of April 2019. Chairperson, I'll move the last bullet because I've already spoken about that one. And in terms of the mandate achievement, what we do, we take all our performance indicators and place them in the DoD strategy map. Now, this, which is depicted there, is a deep DoD strategy map, and in this strategy map, what we have, the 2 outcomes of the DoD as indicated there, is the fact that, and that is a constitutional mandate-driven outcome, and it says RSA is defended and protected. And then the next one is, of course, enhanced civil control of the Department of Defense. We take these two as key in the Department of Defense. Hence, they have stopped, constitutionally driven, to say this should be the outcomes of the Department of Defense. They are supported by what we have indicated there in terms of, they are supported by the output, they are supported by internal processes and the resources that are needed to manage and to enable the Defense Force to execute its missions, as well as the last point there being able to build for the future. Now, what we have done, the numbers that stands there, if I may use the top one at the output deliverable, that says D1, it is for planning purposes, it is us to understand wherever we write that D1, we can bring it back and link it to what part of the strategy map. So that is what it simply stands for. It is just for planners and planning purposes to know how do we link to the strategy map. Now, speaking about these areas of mandate achievement, Chairperson, this is in relation to the map itself. As I indicated, what is indicated there to say targets, we've got 24 in this quarter. And out of those 24 targets, we have achieved 14 of those, and the 10 of them we did not achieve. I want to move forward beyond this slide, because then if I move on to the next slide, that is where, Chairperson, you are able to see much more of the details in this regard. I'm sorry, Chairperson, I see that in the screen it is blurred. It is not that much clear from the screen itself. But what we have, Chairperson, and... So, Chairperson, I think we have achieved on the first one, which is the number of strategic activities that has been done. Those number of strategic activities refers at the strategic level of the Department of Defense that is being in touch with our counterparts based on our MOUs, based on our bilaterals that we have, etc., etc. So that one, therefore, then has been achieved. I just want to indicate, Chairperson, if you look at the second bullet, that bullet is essentially from where we sit as a department. It is not that it has not been achieved, but we have put it in red, and the reason for that is that we want to inform ourselves, because if you look at it, it's all about the Defense Force Service Commission, and I go to the second one, and the second one is also about it's about the military ombud. Now, the reason why we are saying this is because at the time we were supposed to, it is about the tabling of those accountability documents. Now, at the time when we were supposed to table, we recall this is organs of state. And so now the organs of state, they table 31st of May. Now, at the time, it was the time of an election. There was then a departure that was given. Departure that was given, I think, also to the department, i.e., we were supposed to table our APP somewhere in March. They gave a departure on that, so we couldn't table at the time. Now, so because of that, the law would have required that you must have tabled in May, but we were given a departure. So now between the two, we are saying, how then do we address this? So from where we sit, given the departure, which was a national one, we are saying, therefore, that this must be an achievement. But we are going to look at it when we present the second quarter, as it talks about validation of your previous quarter. We are then going to be saying, here we are validated, Chairperson, and therefore that this. So we just want honorable members to take note about this. And then, Chairperson, we want to accept the red on the issue of financial disclosures. But just to say even on the red, that was by the end of the quarter. And we can give you steps, Chairperson, to say, we had two from the military, we had three from the PISA public service. That is not disclosed in this regard. This matter by now, as things stand, we will just follow up to say to it, has this matter been addressed? Yet, if when we come back to report on the second quarter. And we believe then, Chairperson, that it would have been addressed. It was discussed in the command bodies within the department, where there was emphasis to say that there is a need that we have to address this. Now, when we come to the other one, performance agreement, again, in this regard, we were given a departure. The departure fell outside of the first quarter. Now, because the departure has fallen outside of the first quarter, We are then going to be reporting on that when we get to the first quarter. But actually, under normal circumstances, and as I said, with the organs of state, that would have been applicable. But given that departure, then we will have to come back in the second quarter and provide the honorable members with the feedback in this regard. But then to indicate, Chairperson, we are below the D4 there. We are all green, and we have done very well on those ones. So those ones are marked as achievements. I just want to give the Chairperson, and one of them, there being percentage payments within 30 days from receipt of legitimate invoices. This has got to do with those invoices. We have reached our target. But of course, as a department, we do accept the fact that there is a lot of improvement that we still have to do. If we look at the fact that we also have got legacy ICT systems that we've got to work around that in order to make corrective measures in this regard. And then moving over, Chairperson, to the next slide. I want to start with the red, Chairperson. Now, with the red, what we see there is the one that says percentage collective grievances and disputes that were resolved. Now, we will know the fact that when it comes to matters of grievances of a person, because this has got to do with an individual himself, for as long as this individual still says, I am not happy with the way you might have used whatever you have, as long as he says, no, he's still taking this, it is not closed. So you hold on with that. Now, these ones, in the first, we had about 8 of those grievances in that quarter, and we managed to resolve one. The complexity is, as you are resolving this, a member wants, I want to be represented in there, clearly, and a number of other things that comes in. So there is a lot of complexities that are involved, but more especially the one when the individual himself is not happy. Now, for us to close that one, it becomes difficult. So I think it's one of the areas that we can say, Chairperson, we have not achieved that, given those complexities. Disciplinary cases, these ones, they come with their own, because it talks about the precepts. What you find with disciplinary cases as well is it will take as long time as none of us can predict. It's almost like if I am in a court case, it will take much time, longer than I would predict that this is what it would take. So that is why you see it being read there. But there has been some of these that has been addressed in this regard. The number of health activities, Chairperson, this one is on demand. I think individuals must be sick for us to go to get to the right statistics. But if they are not sick, Chairperson, obviously we are happy, because then you've got a healthy defense force. But if then you've got many that are sick, now how do we set the target for this? It is, of course, the baseline that you follow through, because you cannot predict how many are going to get sick. So therefore, then, that is why that one is like that, in the way that it is. Number of vetting decisions that has been taken in accordance with requirements, again, I think the emphasis on that is based on the requirements. So therefore, Chairperson, in as far as the red are concerned in this particular slide, this is the explanation that one can offer. Covenantal relationship, we are happy with this one. What is happening, it is important, Chairperson. I think there was a case in just most recently which the Chairpersons, when we were here, they discussed that matter. But it is important that the Chaplain General of the Defense Force is in touch with the various check bodies that are in the country. Now, that particular one is in relation to that. It's got to do with the spiritual welfare of the soldiers themselves. So it is in relation to that one. And marketing events to promote the reserve force, of course, it's in the interest of the Department of Defense that we are in touch with various areas as and when. We want the support in terms of the reserve force. People, the reserve force members, an understanding between the Department of Defense and, at times, various institutions in terms of the support to the reserve force and vice versa. The number of deliberate crime prevention operations, I think this one, it has been achieved as it stands there. And then defense intelligence project, we have achieved as well on that one. Training targets, Chairperson, we have marked, this is an annual target. So that is why it is indicated there as AMBA. And then moving forward, therefore, Chairperson, into slide number 31, we have spoken about that bullet which is red. And that is your integrated system, and that is given the legacy system within the Department of Defense, and we are fine in terms of financial management. As it relates to the deviation from the approved drawings schedule, we didn't deviate in as far as this. I think the threshold given is in the region of 8%. The CFO will be able to talk about that at the end of the presentation. Now, the DOD selected performance indicators, these in the main are your annual targets. And there is an abbreviation in the past slide there, I think. That abbreviation ENE stands for Estimates of National Expenditure, Chairperson. And moving forward, therefore, it is to say, therefore, that these are annual targets. Now, what we are indicating is to show the progress in as far as this is concerned. Because these indicators forms part of the EN chapter of the Department of Defense. And therefore, the total defense attachés, 44, we are green in this regard, they are there. The number of military skills development in the system, we are yellow in there. We will be able to pick up because there is the plan with the planned intakes that comes in, then we will be able to pick up in this regard. But I think with regards to the MSDS, I need to say that in as much as the attrition applies to them as well. So you do find the fact that there's also attrition within the reserve force and within the MSDS. Number of reserve force mandates, we are on track because it's an annual target and we are at 24%. Ideally, if you were to look at it straight line, you were going to say we should have been at 25%. So if we look at it straight line, we should have been at 25%. But of course, it's an annual target and we will get to it. And then the third extent by force is 100% and external operations, we are also 100% in this regard. And moving on, internal operations, we are 100%, that is green. And these are the operations that I spoke about, support to the people, all are and feel safe. And then joint exercises, this is joint interdepartmental, interagency and multinational exercises. We've got only one exercise that has been scheduled in this. Yeah, Chairperson, and that exercise is scheduled to take place in the last quarter of the financial year. Now, that exercise is called ITSAMA and is going to be conducted by the South African Navy with friendly forces. And these ones are within the BRICS environment. And then, Chairperson, landward defense, we agree in that number of hours flown per year and the number of hours at sea. I want to just say on this one, Chairperson, I don't know if there's a need for me to explain on this, but there was a discussion last week Thursday. Chief of the Air Force, Chief of the South African Navy, they were here and they met with the committees. So without wasting time to honorable members, I think even slide number 34, this is where, 35, this is where we've broken them down to show in terms of hours flown, what have we done at this point in time. And then moving on to in terms of the hours at sea, how have we achieved that? Breaking it down to force preparation as well as force employment. Now, when it comes to this performance, how did we do? This is a total indication, Chairperson, achieved 58 and not achieved it 58% and not achieved this 41.7% of the quarterly targets. But I did indicate, Chairperson, those areas where we said that come the second quarter, we are then going to have verified that. In our view, it should be allowed because that was a national event, which, of course, that national is also legislated. So therefore, then, we think it is our view that we will be green in that one. And then, Chairperson, financial performance. We in financial performance, Chairperson, with our planned expenditure was at 22%, but as you can see in slide number 40, just below, it says percentage expenditure paid. We are at 23.2%. So it is just slightly above what we planned for. But with that being said, therefore, Chairperson, if you were to ask National Treasury, the straight line projection, of course, would be something different. But we have done it in accordance with our cash flow so that we are able to pick up where we should as planned. And then, Chairperson, this is just the state of expenditure in relation to the program itself and the actual expenditure indicated there. As for the 3.4%, which is the variance, and in figure terms, it relates to 386 million thereabout. And then Chairperson comments on the state of expenditure, the program. Now, if we look at the entire expenditure, there has been an under expenditure of about 118 million. And that was due to lower expenditure on devolved funds regarding quarterly accommodation charges, refurbishment, and municipal services to the NDPW. So to pay the NDPW, we are dependent on them providing to us the invoices for us to be able to pay. And that in environment, usually, most probably, in the second quarter of the year, we find that they would have provided to us the invoices that we need. And of course, then you still have a backlog of those that might have been accumulated, again, which they would have provided to us in the second year. When it comes to landward defense, and there is an amount there of 338 million, which is an expenditure higher than anticipated, of course, as indicated there, mainly within the compensation of employees, as a result of the ceiling that was set by National Treasury. And this, we believe, it is going to be addressed during the adjusted budget come the time. I think it's going to be in October. The CFO will be able to talk more on this one. And in the general support account, the 122 million, which was mainly in relation to the codification of the systems within the Department of Defense, and the upgrading, of course, of facilities. This is grouped, the same expenditure, Chairperson, is now grouped in accordance with the economic classification, and it is the same explanation as I gave as per the various programs. Coming, therefore, to the compensation of employees, Chairperson, we have already detailed this. To speak about it, the shortfall remains, Chairperson, of 2.9 billion in the first quarter, as was projected here. But then we are saying the deficit still remains for the compensation of employees. And therefore, as it remains, it's an area of concern, of course. What we don't want to see with this one is to have an irregular expenditure. So it means, therefore, then we will have to do our best, and we have done so before, to say National Treasury, kindly assist the department by bringing this, lift it to the required ceiling as we want to have it. And somewhere we will indicate to members that they will set aside some of the fundings in order to cater for this. If we don't, there might just be a problem, because we don't want a situation where we've got an unauthorized expenditure by overshooting your division's vote. It is, I think that will be something that will not be good to do. And Chairperson, therefore, with regards to goods and services, there's been an under expenditure of 366 million. This money is in relation to what I just said now, wherein I was indicating the fact that we've got to put some monies on the side. Because, of course, we do have the people, and the people will still have to be paid. As well as there is also with regards to the devolved funds, that is within the refurbishment of the DOD facilities. And, of course, with regards to the challenges that we experience with regards to Arms Corps in relation to the steady state contracts as they relate to the South African efforts. And the payment for capital assets is 149 million, Chairperson, again coming back to the codification within the Department of Defense. Now, in this case, the initial one was in relation to the general program, as was indicated. Now, in this case, we're talking about, if you look at it from the economic classification point of view. And then moving forward, Chairperson, there's also been the 1.2 million. I think this one, of course, is catering for the unforeseen. Your rate of exchange is very difficult to predict in this regard. And we are saying, therefore, that it should be noted that the department does not make provision during the budget allocation for unforeseen expenditures, such as foreign exchange losses, theft, and other losses. And therefore, then, what we do, we clear these transactions at the financial year end. Your foreign exchange is one example that you might not be able to see, but at times we do clear them. And Chairperson, this therefore concludes the presentation. Thank you very much. CFO.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Are there any addition? Sokada?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I need to explain the issue of 30 days payment because two slides that I need to explain. One slide, slide number 18. Slide number 18 is talking about all the invoices that we received within that particular period, including the invoices that we did not able to pay because of a certain reasons, where sometimes the orders does not correlate with the invoices. It includes all the invoices. At slide number 29 is the target that we set to say, this is the target excluding the invoices that will be a problem. So we met the target that we set. But the department is striving to say, to educate the suppliers as well, to say, please, if you do this, we will be able to pay the invoices on time. I need to explain that one, what is the difference between those two slides. In terms of the compensation of employees, in terms of the landlord, Chairperson, as General explained, to say we requested to lift up the ceiling when the cuts were effected to us in terms of the compensation of employees. Now, after that request were declined, you will find that we made the saving under goods and services in order to, if the ceiling is lifted, we will able to do the firement in terms of Section 43 of the PFMA. Because the request was not approved, you will find that we will overspend there because most of our employees are sitting on the side of the army. That's why it might look like we are all overspending on that one. So the savings that you realized on the goods and services is easy to make any saving there because it will be easy to do the firemen. That is the situation at the moment, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, so that takes care of the presentation by the Department of Defense on their first quarter budget performance. Right, the matter is now on the floor. So I now invite questions and comments. Maybe my just to trigger this session, two issues I want to raise. One, how far is your discussion, DOD, Treasury, and Presidency, on the constraints that are imposed on your budget? I know that there were discussions at that level, and we're hoping that the discussions will be positive, which would then mean that all the constraints we are talking about would be somehow mitigated. Right. So just give us an update on that. And two, a decision was taken a long time ago that the Department of Defense will build up its own WACS formation. And they've started working on it. But the limitation was that you were waiting for the budget for capital works, that is in the Department of Public Works, to be shifted from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense, so that you will then be in a position to undertake all your capital works programs. So that is my question. And the third point is just a comment. It's interesting that when your COE is facing pressure, like you have indicated, you tried to effect what you call savings, you know, forced savings. In order to save some money so that you can then subsidize your COE. But you are not telling us what are the implications of that, because ideally you would have wanted every single cent that is under the goods and services. Now, due to the spending pressures against your COE item, you now have to borrow from the goods and services to fund your COE item. There are implications. What are those implications? And okay, so those will be my comments. Welcome, Honorable Mackay. Your hand is up. Yes. Mr. Honorable Mackay's hand is up. Honorable Marais. These are the two, and the Honorable Matthias. So let me take these three for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to make myself understand, it was said that Treasury declined. I should think declined might be an accounting term. In simple language, they refused to lift the ceiling. I should think we need to know the reasons why. Because it's very difficult for me to understand, Tori. If you have got 7,000 employees, and they put a ceiling that would only cover 6,000. There must be a reason that must be understood. Or what type of a thing is that? And when you say, please lift the ceiling, because those people are already there. You are not going to employ them tomorrow. They are already employed, and you put a ceiling at 6,000. And then there's an over expenditure of 338 million. It would be very interesting to understand this refusal, so that at least we have an idea. Maybe we can even ask Treasury, or how do you explain something of this nature? And it's going to be, and when the Auditor General comes in there, it's going to be an unauthorized maybe the Tswarala Hole. I don't understand how that happens. And who exactly does that? Because it just doesn't, there was something during our time when we were still at school, talking your mother language in English. We called it Bantuism. I would say it refuses to enter my mind. Or what is this that you are facing? And how can we help you if we don't understand it? You see, maybe if we could have an idea, or maybe the thinking of Treasury, or maybe they are using some laws or some calculations that we don't understand. I mean, if the defense industry is going down, especially research, the most important thing that we need. I mean, all technology in the whole world comes from military. They might have been having cell phones in 1920-something. It only came to the civilians now. And if you close that industry, what does it mean? Who exactly does that? Just try and make us understand, so that maybe if it's within our powers to change some of these things, then we can do it. Otherwise, we are moving in circles. We are just beating the problem at the periphery, and all we are doing is looking at life as if a bioscope or something. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Honorable Murray.
This thing of mine is not working. My apologies. Mr. Chair, my apologies for late arrival due to traffic. Thank you for the submission. I want to start off on your slide 19. And my first comment will be, yes, you're quite right. In the last 3-4 weeks, we have had fantastic submissions from the chiefs of Navy, of Air Force, and of the Army. And it was incredible interactions. So yes, we are very much aware of all these things. My first comment is that we again see the challenges. We don't really see solutions. And one must be honest in terms of the current economic climate. The only solution is not just more money. So there must be other solutions and way that we think about it. Otherwise, we will never get to a solution. On your slide 19, with regards to the SDA, and that links to the comments of my colleague, over the last couple of years, we know that there was a couple of billion rand being moved out of the SDA for HR overspending. Now, you indicated that later on in the submission or the presentation, that will be addressed during the medium-term budget coming up. My question is, where will the money come from? We know that National Treasury is certainly not Father Christmas, so they will take it from somewhere to give it to HR overspending, and you should know by now whether they are doing it from the SDA again. We know from various comments that SDA is probably about 5 billion rand, and we know that if this process is going forward, in 2 years' time, there will be no money in the SDA. And that we know that the way that government is and National Treasury is doing it, they will probably not appropriate on a yearly basis 3-4 billion rand for capital acquisitions. So please address that. Then on that same slide, you've referred to the research and the institutes. Now, you haven't mentioned Arms Corps. Arms Corps is also doing a lot of research. And all three, CSIR, IMT, and Arms Corps, are still very much the old structures and the old cost structures, if I can use that phrase. When will we see a rationalization between the functions of those, at least those three, but we know there are more research institutions, so that we can streamline that and also have from a cost a more cost-effective way. Then on your slide 20, you've referred to Danel and the problems with Danel. And again, like my previous comment is, so what? Where's the realistic solutions? Am I correct to say that the land, the NEL land systems that they are underperforming is based on the 2015 defense review. In other words, we're referring that mainly to the Badger that must replace the Rattle and some other projects as well. My question to you, what are our needs, current needs and foreseeable needs? Is that armored patrol vehicles on four land borders, or is it an armored personnel carrier like the Badger? I know the Badger we need as a process and a program of replacing the Rattle, but I'm just concerned that we are running after the Badger and we're not really addressing the current need for land border patrol, because we know that we cannot constantly work with soft body vehicles on the land borders. That is not working. So, yeah, what are the solutions in that regard? Then in terms of your slide 22, we all know that before the function was taken away from the Defence Force many years ago and given to the police, I think there was about 36 units deployed on the borders. It's currently 15. We know that even 22 is not enough. So, how are we going to do that? How are we going to address that, given the challenges with both permanent force members that is fit enough to be deployed and the cutting of the reserve force budget as well? Then on the cyber tech that you have additionally mentioned, how far are we? I've seen this morning that there was an interview with General Yum where he said that unmanned aerial vehicles are tested currently to be used. What is the situation? Because I've long held the opinion that to use cyber technology can be used as a force multiplier, where we are maybe can move out much faster on doing that. Then, Chairperson, if I move forward then to slide 34, where you have given us the, especially on the hours flown and those hours at sea, for me it is always important to also have the budget and the actual spending next to that. Because often one of the reasons for underperforming in terms of sea hours and air hours, flown hours, are the increase of the cost way beyond what was projected and budgeted for. So that might be a reason for underutilization of sea hours and air hours. So we need to know that. And I know that General Zemang has used the term military inflation of 15%, and we know from previous reports that the way that the Defence Force is budget is using CPI. And you know my view of CPI versus military inflation. So what are the costs? The budget versus the actual spending on those hours and on sea and in the air, because that will give us a better picture. Then on slide 35, we know that the Defence Force is still using chartered aircraft, whether that's by 21 Squadron or whether it's 28 Squadron. Are those included in there? I mean, we know that General Zemang has indicated that he wants to deploy 6 C-130s for operational purposes and maritime patrols. But we also know that the only C-130 that is operational couldn't even flown the people from Tenside down to Cape Town over the weekend, and they now had to be driven by bus. So the only one that we've got is not even operational. How on earth are we going to do that, you know, with 6? So what is the situation with charters, and whether are they included there? Because that can also deplete the money allocated for those purposes, because that will give us a better picture. Then, sir, in terms of that was the other thing, the last one I've got on slides 44, 45, and even started with 43, you've shown us the overspends. The one thing that I pick up is all of that is at the cost of defense capability. In other words, deployability, our ability to respond to anything happening out there. So this is goods and services, and then we see it's got nothing to do with really defense capability and operational responsiveness. We are spending wrong, and obviously we are very empathetic towards the situation of the Defence Force, but I've asked for a long time, Defence Review 2015 is not realistic. When are we coming up with an alternative? Thank you.
Mr. Marit, my problem has been, I've jotted all the comments and questions you've raised, is to try and separate questions that pertain to the presentation, the budget performance. So when you respond, right, please deal with those. Right? And perhaps we must then have set aside some few minutes towards the end to deal with general questions. My problem is when I allow general questions to come in between the questions on the budget. Otherwise the meeting would be moving backward and forward. Right? And I just want to structure the discussion. Let's focus on the budget and the presentations and the implications thereof. It's fine, and we can go to town with that. And then when it comes to just questions generally, let's set aside time to deal with those towards the end.
Chairperson, one correction. You would have heard that every time I refer to a specific slide.
No, I've listened to you carefully. You look at the slide, and then you start moving off and you deal with other issues. No. I've listened to you carefully, Mr. Marlon. I was as you were raising it, I said, but I know you possess a lot of information. We've been through, we've visited the Navy, we've visited the Landward, we've visited the Air Force, and we've also visited one of your military hospitals. And arising from all the visits and the presentations we've received in those visits, members have really acquired a lot of information. So I don't want that information to cloud the presentation and the issue that we're dealing with today. I will do justice to general questions, but please, can you just separate the issues? All right, colleagues, I feel I should just make that ruling. I think it's just to save all of us to focus on the budget now. All right? Now, I've recognized Mr. Matthias. I'm sorry to come in before you do exactly that.
Your prescriptive rule plays a heavy jacket of bronze on our shoulders.
It's fine, we'll deal with the general questions later.
It places us in a straight jacketed discussion, but nonetheless, Honourable Chair, let me proceed. Look, Honourable Marquez made a remark about the decline of budget allocation for research and innovation, and that is part of the general comment, really. But then I have to make this comment just as a means of reorientating my question. That the nature of the South African defense and military is designed to be a military and defense intensive. And that has made South Africa to be one of the most advanced military in the Southern Hemisphere. So the role of research is very important. And when we hear that DINEL and perhaps AMSCO are not playing the part, it forces us to ask the question, in relation to fulfilling the sovereign defense strategy, how is the defense going to enhance its organizational coherence, proficiency,
and military superiority. If this is the if this is the case currently experienced, perhaps we need to deal with that. Perhaps have to pay a visit to Dinel, even if it falls under a different portfolio committee and AMSCO. Going to slide number 22, in relation to border patrol, in respect of the western coastal line, we get a report that a deliberate decision was taken not to report on that. And perhaps it's because of the role of the military in the Cape Metro. Would really want to understand whether the deployment of the force or employment of the force here in Cape Metro has replaced that important mission of the military around the western coastal line. Thus, the clarity would be suffice. On slide 42, on landward defense, and as money that has been spent on employee compensation, I think we need to be given more information about circumstances that led to this high than anticipated cash flow, so that through you, Chair, the committee is enabled to facilitate some interventions with National Treasury and perhaps with the Ministry, of course. The general support under the same slide, what these modules are for, that we had to purchase for 122 million. Can't we develop our own modules? Is it, what kind of modules are these? A study material, or is it something that me as a civilian can't understand and have no comprehension of it? What modules are these that we have to pay so much for? And why do we have to buy these modules, General Olumis, from NATO for all intents and purposes? Why NATO, of all institutions? And we know that what NATO, its role is in geopolitics, or perhaps military geopolitics. Why, of all organizations, NATO? Lastly, on slide 17, there is a report that there would be an intake of personnel in relation to what is referred to as personal attrition, MSDS, January 2020. It's projected at about 1,986. Soldiers will be recruited. Now the question is, are this number of 1,986 targeting trained soldiers who are already with the reserve force? Because you find that a guy or a young man starts with the reserve force at age 20 or 21. He remains with the reserve force until he's 40, without having an opportunity to be absorbed into the permanent defense personnel. Who are meant, or which group is meant for here, is targeted here? We're going to recruit people completely from outside, or we're going to take from among the ranks of the reserve force members? Thanks, Chair.
May I ask you to respond? I'll take the just a follow-up before they respond. So a follow-up to your question, all right? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry about that. Just to emphasize what you said, you put it lightly when you said they are general questions. I don't think they are general questions. You should specifically have said they must not answer some of these questions, because they are operational questions. Why would you like to know how many aircrafts are working, which ones are on the ground? which ones are serviced. I don't think that is the information that we need here. Those are operational. I mean, if Swaziland can hear or all aircrafts are grounded, they can start attacking. Thank you, Chairperson.
No. I agree. You have actually made my point explicit. And that in your response, let's deal with the budget questions. And then later on, we can then deal with general questions. But the general questions must also be relevant to the issues at hand, so that our meeting doesn't degenerate. That's the point. All right. So, in your response, just please be selective. In your response, we'll deal with the rest later. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with the question that was raised by the Chairperson. Honorable Murray, I will task General Ramaswamy to handle them. And if I can start with the question of Chairperson, the first question about the meeting that it should take place between the Commander in Chief and the three ministers. The meeting did take place of the ministers first. The meeting did take place of the ministers, which was the Minister of Defense, our minister, the Minister of Public Administration, as well as the Minister of Finance, trying to resolve the issue before the new administration come into place. There were decisions that were taken there in that particular meeting. In that meeting, it was the ministers told us that, no, go back, it must be a DG-to-DG correspondence to deal with the short term, because we were approaching the year end, to deal with the short term, and then also the DGs needed to agree to what is the long term. Chairperson, the short term that was envisaged at the time, it was to lift the ceiling immediately to the DGs, to our Secretary for Defense, to write to the DG of National Treasury requesting to lift the ceiling. That was the short term. And then the long term was to produce the rejuvenation plan. That was the long term. That as a defense, we need to produce a rejuvenation plan. Now, what actually happened, Chairperson, immediately when that meeting, unfortunately, that none of the staff members from National Treasury was present in that meeting. It was only us and the three ministers. Okay. When we approached National Treasury in writing, and then the response that we received from National Treasury was to say, no, we don't approve the increase of ceiling. What is the implication of that? The implication then will be to say you'll incur the irregular expenditure if it does not get that approval. That is what it happened. The delivery of the rejuvenation plan was supposed to be given to National Treasury at the end of May. That is the target that was agreed upon. Along that, when the department was more or less about 90% complete that rejuvenation plan, there was we receive the letter saying that there will be a further cut on the compensation of employees. One of the issues, Chairperson, before we received that the cuts would be in future years would be 5%, 6%, 7% over the MTEF, of which that one was not specifical to say where it will be affected, but it was going to be affected on the operational side. Immediately after that, what we receive to see, right, in terms of random sense, in terms of over the MTF that is coming, there will be a further cut on the compensation of employees. Now, Chairperson, it means now that rejuvenation plan that is ready, it's no longer going to add value, because it's already, we are working on the figures. That is already not true now, because we need to revise the action plan for the entire HR and then work on the rejuvenation plan. Then we wrote back to Treasury to say, now we can't meet the date of the date yet, or to submit the rejuvenation plan. It happened, Chairperson, that while we were doing that, there was supposed to be a meeting. It was going to be a meeting of the MTF for all the departments that are falling within the security cluster. Even in that meeting, when we're going to deal with the budget for the near future, we stated very clearly that the rejuvenation plan was ready, but due to this reason of the letter of allocation that we received from you, we are working now to fit in terms of these numbers. Immediately after that, Chairperson, as a department, management of the department, we said, okay, fine. We still need it now to rearrange, to find the slot of the commander-in-chief through the minister to say when this meeting can take place. At the moment, Chairperson, as I'm talking to you right now, in the meeting on Monday of the executive, we were talking about it to say we need to fast track it, but we need to find the slot. So that meeting, Chairperson, it will take place in order for us to get help.
That meeting has not happened
as yet. It's not happened as yet. That meeting, including the commander-in-chief on our side. The other concern, Chairperson, that you ask is in terms of the works formation. Chairperson, you see, the issue of the compensation of employees is very, very critical in all angles. In all angles, because if we want to do that, we need to employ the professional people as well who will do that. You need to Department of Public Works to transfer the entire budget to the Department of DOD. In the same meeting of the MTF meeting, that for all the security cluster, National Treasury pointed out to us and say, your department need to engage with the public works in order for them to transfer that fund. Of which that statement, Chairperson, to be honest, what I'm saying is my view to say, I find it difficult, because no one will want to just to transfer the budget. They need to have the instruction. The only instruction like they did before. Because what happened before, they called both of us. And then it was agreed that a certain portion of that particular time will be transferred. And then it was agreed in that meeting. So we are busy engaging with National Treasury at this point in time to make sure to set up the meeting between the public works and us. In fact, we would be happy to take over for the entire thing, because we will be able to make sure that we will account for each and every cent. That's in the nutshell, Chairperson. Your comment, Chairperson, in terms of goods and services, the environment, I think I need to comment on it, Chairperson. It's not that the department wants to do that. But, Chairperson, you already have commitment, people that you employed. You already have those people. In terms of goods and services, in terms of the budget, okay, so that budget, if I'm not committing in order to augment, not to have a litigation from not paying the people. Okay? I can see how can I reduce, like in goods and services, if you look at it, to S&T. Let me make an example. I'm making an example in terms of S&T chairperson. It's within our control to say, to go to Cape Town, I'm making an example to say, how many people do I need? Do I need to have four instead of two?
Maybe let's get the answer in writing. What are the implications on the cut? No, in writing.
Yes, okay, chairperson.
Let's leave it for writing. What are the implications on the cut for the goods, on goods and services?
Thank you, chairperson.
And we understand that you had to do it.
Yes,
chairperson.
Chairperson, you put it correctly. Some of the questions that, because my team as well, they were taking notes, that I weren't able to address, we will able to respond in writing, fully in writing, to the honorable members, those ones that I did not. The other question that I need to comment on is what was raised by General Arthur, by the honorable member, Martin.
Yeah.
Who refused to raise the ceiling? As I indicated when I was explaining the first question of the chairperson, that when we were dealing official to officials, that's when we got to say, no. We can't increase the ceiling before we get the rejuvenation plan. Now, we can't produce the rejuvenation plan because you cut me now, the date that we agreed upon, it can't be met. Now, if Treasury say, they are saying, no, you can go and get the irregular expenditure, we don't mind. That is the situation that we are facing as a department when we deal with the official in National Treasury. The ministers will agree on a certain decision, but when we communicate, then it becomes different.
Sure, that has been answered.
Yeah.
And then we can then move to his second part of the question on the cut on the SDA. Mr. Martin, I'm right. Yeah, oh, that's on research, yes. Sorry.
Chairperson, remember when they are saying cut on the goods and services as a program, it will affect all the sub-program that are affecting that goods and services. Even the research will be affected.
So let's say it belongs to that answer that we want in black and white.
Sorry,
the implications.
Right.
Are you happy that to respond till then? Thank you so much.
The question that I will answer for the Honorable Member Murray is the one that the hours flown and on sea, that we can include the budget as well as the extra, and then we will take it from there. That, General Manson, if you can deal with the rest that you can, and then what we can't, we will put it in writing, Deputy Minister, if it's okay with you.
Okay. General, it's now your opportunity. Thank you so much, CFO.
Chairperson, thank you very much. If I may, as directed by the CFO to deal with the questions raised by Honorable Marais, I think first and foremost, in the slide that was referred to, which is slide number 19, the issues raised there was the special defense account, the dairy, etc., the defense evaluation and research institute, to say that there are no solutions. Clearly, Chairperson, the issue is, if one goes and look at the risks within the department, those risks within the department, the majority of them, more than 80% of those, are in relation to funding. And in this particular area, if one speaks about the special defense account, where you've got a budget of about 5 billion that has been cut, and you've got projects that are ongoing, what is it that can be the solution in that regard, except to say that we need to try and maybe reverse the card that has been that is coming. And with regards to the defense,
the cuts that are proposed
in the MTF. Thank you, Chairperson. And with regards to the defense evaluation and research institutes, the challenges that are there is that once you cut the special defense account, there are multiplier effects in terms of that. It goes to your defense evaluation and research institute. It goes to the industry that is also dependent on this, and it also goes to subsidiary organizations and those organizations that subcontract, and it goes to even impact on the job opportunities which the South Africans are supposed to. So the multiplier effect of that is too big. Now, what is the solution? Clearly, in this regard, it's part of the special defense account issue that I mentioned. And then, Chairperson, there was an issue. I want to answer this one. To give it in one answer, there was questions with regards to the borders. The statement that was made by Chief of Army this morning, as was indicated, in terms of the technology that's available to say what is happening in here. In the borders, during the presentation, I indicated the fact that the DOD itself currently. We know what is required, and we have indicated that in every forum where we sit, we keep on pressing all the buttons to indicate the fact that what is it that is needed from the side of the DOD. And in the BRRR, we also indicated the cost implications because we were asked by honorable members in this regard. We need technology in here. And when I was speaking about the Defense Evaluation and Research Institute, I did indicate the fact that the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research is responsible for Landward and Aerospace. That is why the Chief of the Army, who is the system owner in that regard, knows within his environment what are the attempts that they are making, what they are doing, in order to make sure that we can kind of continue with this research and to get these technologies that will assist us. But clearly, at the end of the day, there is going to be funding that is required in this regard. So just to summarize that part, I think I will summarize it in that way. But I want to say, when it comes to AMSCO, the honorable member is right in the sense that, although what I was doing in my presentation, I was merely giving examples. I didn't exhaust the entire. AMSCO is a contracting agent for the Department of Defense, and they've got engineers who are highly qualified who can also provide quality assurance. Now, part of it, of course, they would not be excluded if one is talking about research. But like I'm saying, during the presentation, I was just citing some of the examples, honorable member. And I just want to say, honorable member, although I would think Honorable Marke has assisted in terms of responding to this when it comes to the issues of the Air Force. But just to say, I think in one of the slides, we have indicated the fact that we did not charter any aircraft in the first quarter. So there was no cost implication, we didn't charter anything. And again, when it comes to force employment, clearly, if aircraft are not available, Chief of the Air Force will say aircraft are not available. Where alternatives are available, Chief of the Air Force will explore and make use of those alternatives. Him as the commander and the person that's in charge of the systems within the South African Air Force. There was an interesting question about, I can't remember, I think Honorable Matthias mentioned it. It's a question about superiority. Honorable, I think you are spot on. This is why we are raising this issue to this to the committee, to say that defense evaluation and research is quite key. Why is it so important? Because modernization and renewal of weapon systems invest in this. And then there was also, Honorable Maria said, what is it that we need? Do we need radars? What do we need? I think the most important thing to note about the ongoing project is the fact that these projects are contracted. If you talk about one major project that we have in the DOD, it's contracted. So the current systems that we want, yes, we want them. Renewal of weapon systems in the, of the Defense Force, we have to, because that is what is required of the Defense Force. The Defense Force exists to execute its constitutional mandate. And at the same time, we are saying, therefore, then, once we deploy, we are in need of technology to fulfill exactly the part that would talk about border safeguard, because essentially that is what we need. Then, if I'm correct, the last question is the one that talks about the MSDS intakes. Honorable Member, you are quite correct when you talk about a pool of the reserve force that is available in the community. And I just want to say that the statement you are making, the minister in the colloquium that we had last week, which she opened, by the way, Chairperson, last week we had a colloquium of the reserves. And the minister made a point to say that let's go and look at the reserve force and let us see the young and fit ones. And then let us try and bring them into the duty. The good thing about it is the service chiefs were there. This has been an issue that was discussed. Now, I want to say about that, it is happening already. It is happening that there are those members of the reserve force that are being taken and are being converted to be part of the defense force. But the minister was saying, when you do your intake, can you consider these young and fit ones? So that's a point, Honorable, which is on track. It is happening in the Defense Force as things stand for now. Okay, there was then another issue. It is about the coastal line. Oh, Honorable Matthias, I think most probably my apologies in that I might not have been very clear in the case that I was making. What I was saying about the deployment in the Western Cape was that it is outside of the first quarter, the deployment. So we have not reported on it. But then the statement that I went ahead to make is a statement that said that the deployment in the Western Cape, as things stand, has been extended by the Commander-in-Chief. So that is where we stand. We Chairperson, if there is any discussion that is required, I think we are open. We are from the department itself. But we could only make that statement given the fact that we are presenting the quarterly report.
But
thank you.
That matter will be reported on in the next
quarter. In the next quarter, yes,
but
it will appear.
We'll leave it till then.
Thank
but
you.
We're done with the questions, with the answers to the first round of questions. I'm now doing the second round. The first honorable on the list is Honorable General Olumisa, Honorable Thabo Motle. First one.
Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, is your hand up, Honorable Dizer? Honorable Dizer, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. This issue of defense budget is frustrating. We have been talking about this since 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I think we should ask the Deputy Minister, and in particular the CFO, that they should go back and prepare a memorandum to the cabinet to say, notwithstanding the instruction which was given by the government for all the departments to cut their budgets, the situation has changed. And you can hear the people are crying out. The mere fact that the police cannot contain the issue, the violence in the Western Cape, has already led to the Defense Force to be deployed. It's worse what I saw on TV about our borders. So I think we need to strengthen the hand of the Commander-in-Chief, wherein we submit a memorandum to the cabinet asking the cabinet to review their position insofar as the security of this country is concerned. Peggy Pele did very well in a short space of time by replenishing the old CASPAs. It's got first state-of-the-art equipment. But the defense is still using the trucks, which are 33 years old. That's not on. So this thing of saying the meeting went to the chief directors of Treasury, they are not going to change because there is an instruction. That instruction must be changed by way of a cabinet resolution. That's how things should be working. But these meetings here and there, let's meet ministers alone, those are not accounting officers. Accounting officers are going to take the resolution, implement the resolution which was taken by the cabinet many years ago to say, cut so many people in the civil service. We need to wake up a little bit.
Thanks, General. Honorable Thabo Motle.
Thank you, Chair. As per your directive, I will try to be like a striker who must always be in the 18 areas from time to time. I've got few questions. Because my understanding is that despite these challenges that the department is faced with, which are known, and we understand we need to join hands in order to ensure that the status quo does not remain. We must ensure that we put our brains together so that we resolve that particular challenges. But my argument equally is that we have passed the budget and we've got the responsibility as a committee to play oversight what we have passed, and we have accepted that this is the situation that we are confronted with. Now, you look at slide 42, where the department is supposed under administration to spend a particular figure, and they underspend. And you know what it means when they underspend? It means they've got more money that they don't know what to do with it, which is contradictory. 42, slide 42, page 21. Because you underspend when you've got access money that you don't know what to do. Underspending means you've got more money and less things to do. In a layman's understanding, because you'll not underspend if you must be able to meet your commitment. You then go to general support where you talk of over expenditure, which means you spend on over expenditure. It means you spend on something that you have not actually planned for. I hope my understanding is correct, because if I have 5 rand today to spend for my lunch, and I spend 3 rand, it means I over budgeted. I could actually survive with 3 rand a day. So who is who here? Can we get explanation? Because Auditor General, when he comes and see that you are unable to spend, it means you've got more money and you can't use it. But on the other side, you are saying you are crying foul over the budget. Lastly, on compensation of employee, since they are underspending somewhere and they are overspending somewhere, can't they
play around. I know, I'm not sure in terms of the PMFMA, whether they've got that provision where they do budget adjustments, where they see that, we can move money and compromise some of the things so that they cover what is essential as they have presented. And we agree. We are not saying, given the economic situation and the statistical results that are there with the high rate of unemployment, will not agree that they should retrench anyone. But flexibility must be able to kick in and apply and look at what is viable, what can be compromised at the expense of that which we cannot compromise, which is compensation on employees. Have they looked at that? And what are the remedies for those that have budgeted and have underspent and those who have overspent? Because it's quite problematic. As administrators, as accounting officers, you need to be able to take actions against those who are not in compliance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Mokhe. Honourable Tese.
Thanks, Chair. I'm actually covered by Honourable Tabo on slide 42.
Sure. And they also look at slide 43 as well. That whilst they record another expenditure and against one or two items, but the overall budget is overspent. In other words, there may be areas where they had to take a deliberate decision to slow down expenditure against this sub-program in order to fund the compensation of employees. It was an item that you can't say, I don't have money to pay the salaries. So you slow down on some in order to borrow money from there to subsidize the COE, but they would explain it and when they deal with it. Over to you, Mr. McKay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether what I'm going to request to belong to this meeting. If not, then you will direct me to another meeting or rule me out of order. I would suggest that we as a committee to show that we are very serious about this, because it's embarrassing. People are going to say we are useless as a committee. We request a snap debate on this issue, and we debate it right in the assembly and explain to everybody that there's a crisis here waiting to explode. At least maybe even if it's rejected, I would feel justified. I would go around telling people I asked and it was refused, because otherwise I'm feeling my hands are bound and I'm sitting here, it's as if I can't do anything, and I'm facing a situation that is very dire. So I will request that we request a snap debate to deal with this situation. Then we debate it in Parliament. Then you can rule on that, whether it belongs
I think at some point we'll have to look at that. Remember, there is a request that we're still attending to, that the committee made, that we must arrange a meeting. I think that was the between ourselves. In other words, we must have a meeting where we invite both the Department of Defense and Treasury. And they've written to us to say, yes, they acknowledged the letter, but they are still waiting for the discussions at the level that is spoken about. Hence my question, give us an update on those discussions In other words, they are at a point where they are now bringing in the commander in chief into the discussions. I thought we should just wait until just to see what whether that meeting delivers the outcomes before we can take the matter up. I think that was the thing that was still processing another mic. Yeah. So that is not off the our radar as yet. Right. So Honourable Murray.
Chairperson, apologies. I just want to follow up on a question that I've given, but that was not answered, and that's basically also on slide 42. The comment on landward defense, where it says that this will be addressed during the AENE, my question was, will that again come from the special defense account, or where will that be, that environment coming from? And I don't think that has been responded to. Thank you.
No, thanks. I think this then takes care of our questions. And once on the personal budget, I'm looking at your year-on-year personal strength. And if you compare your personnel for 2018-2019 and the personnel for 2019 and 2020, especially as it relates to the first quarter of 2019-2020, you the number of posts filled has decreased by 735. And I was down by 735. And I'm raising this point because you said you are you are recruiting from the pool. In response to Mr. Matthias' question that you have a pool that comes in at 25, even at 40, there are no hopes or prospects of it being absorbed into the permanent force because we are facing spending pressure on your personal budget. In other words, you rather not fill the positions. You rather not fill the position for you to contain the over expenditure. You see, and then so that I'm raising that in that context. So, okay, so let me allow you to deal with those questions, and that then takes care of the presentation on the defense. Once they are done, I'll then invite the Department of Military Veterans to do their presentation. CFO?
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can start the question for Honorable Moshe. In terms of the first understanding on the administration program. At the beginning of the year, Chairperson, we prepare what is called the cash flow. And that cash flow is per month. We itemize per month to say in terms of public works, this is what we will pay within this period. Then you receive these invoices from public works within that period. But what you don't receive is the supporting documentation. How did they arrive to that? What does that mean? It means you are not going to pay that invoice. You need to communicate with public works to say, give me the lease registers, like the accommodation charges, the municipality services, what I'm paying for. Because you can't just pay on a black invoice. If they don't submit that invoice, they only submit in the second quarter, it means you'll have that saving. But it does not mean that you're not going to pay at all. All what you are saying, I want to be convinced what I'm paying for is correct, it's supported.
So a significant portion of this relates to unpaid invoices.
Yes, for public works.
In relation to public works.
Public works. That's why we put it there, NDPW. And we even indicated what is that service it's all about. That is what it happened. Chairperson, I need to clarify to
you. You are therefore saying that if he had honored these invoices, the situation would actually look very worse than what you are actually painting.
If I paid these invoices, if I paid these invoices, it means you will find under this program, I'm talking about the program of administration.
I'm talking about your over-expenditure.
The situation would be worse.
386,627.
The situation would be
worse. Honored these invoices. The situation would be even be worse. All right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I'm a bit lost. Invoices that are under administration, or is he talking about food and services? And what is the difference between administration and goods and services?
Okay,
can we just explain that?
Let me explain, Jefferson. Administration and the landlord and general support is the programs. Okay, goods and services, compensation of employees, payment to capital is the economic classification. Economic classification is two different things. Under economic classification is five of them, which is compensation of employees, goods and services, transfer payment, and capital payment. Under programs, you'll find, Jefferson, all the departments do have the program called administration. The other program depends to the operation of that particular department. You'll find that the program of the department, I'm making an example, of Department of Military Veterans won't be the same as the programs of the Department of Defense. But in terms of economic classification, are all the same.
So administration,
yes,
would also have goods and services. All programs would have a goods and services part.
Yes, Jefferson.
So that's yes. Sure that satisfies you. In other words, it runs through all the programs. Program one, program two, even personnel, it runs through all the programs. All right?
Okay. In terms of the question that was posed by the member in terms of general support that we're overspending there, when we upgrade the headquarters of where our soldiers stay and all those things, you might find that we upgraded more than what we anticipated. Of which, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means in the fewer quarters, we will upgrading less. That's in the nutshell.
We will level out
as the time goes. Yes. Chairperson, I need to assure the honorable members that as a department we are striving by all means to run away from the unauthorized expenditure. That I need to assure the honorable members on that one. The other question that was posed is the question that was posed by General Murray, by the Honorable Member Murray, about the landlord on slide number 42. If we are saying it will be corrected during the adjustment estimate, we are not saying we will do the vialment from SDA to this. As we indicated when we started to present that we are busy engaging with National Treasury, because this issue of compensation of employees, it's worried everybody. So we are hoping that by the adjustment estimate, this matter will be resolved. Because if it doesn't resolve, it got another implications. That's what we are hoping for. The other question that I did not answer, it was raised by Honorable Member Matthias, in terms of the same thing under the landlord. The compensation, if you look in terms of the structure of defense on the operational side, on the service side. Look at all the services, but the landlord, it's more who's got a lot of people. A lot of people. What does it mean? It means the bulk of the compensation of employees on the program, it's sitting there as well. If there is an overspending, they will be more affected than other services. That is the other challenge. But we are hoping that as the time goes on, National Treasury will be able to assist us to resolve this matter. As Honorable Member General Olumisa was suggesting that we need to write the cap memo to the cabinet wanting to resolve this issue. That is the where we are at this point in time, Chairperson. And your question, Chairperson, which is said, you notice that in the past, for the same period, that if we are looking to the current, we are really decreasing the number. It's not that we like to. We don't like to decrease the number because it got a different implication even to us. Now, in terms of HR, we need to do something. We can't say because we are not being funded, then we'll sit down and then we don't do something. We need to say, let's revise also our HR plans. If to fill the position was taking me 3 months, what implication it will have for me in order to make sure that I'm filling this position over 6 months now in order to augment the budget? I need to do something. That was the reason. That's why you'll find that it decreased. So that is the situation, Jefferson. Thank you.
No, it's fine. Colleagues, Shelembe, I thought I was closing the discussion on this one.
Please, just I missed something. I'm not well.
All right, sorry.
And the issue of, say, I've noticed that it's like the issue of, overspending on compensation of employees is not like something that is happening now. It has been happening as before. But now I just want to know that in the first quarter, since we have already, incurred, overexpenditure, how are you going to adjust the budget to accommodate that situation? It's just that I missed that one.
No, I think the challenge is that they are projecting an over expenditure against the personnel budget. But they say they will try to do everything humanly possible not to overspend it. That includes borrowing from the goods and services, to fund the personnel. But I think they are admitting that that will still not be enough. They're actually banking on the discussions that are yet to happen at a higher level. That will help in resolving the budget, the ceiling on the budget for the compensation of employees. There's a ceiling there, because these numbers must translate into this budget, and this is what you must stay within. So the discussions are at that level to try and review that and still get more money. Review it, because if you review the ceiling within the current budget, it means that you are not going to, you are robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's got to be reviewed and then more money so that you can then do the things you want to do. All right? So I think that's the thing. So we are all banking on this meeting. All right? And we also are waiting for our appointment with Treasury to enter into these discussions on the budget of the defense. I think You're doing well on your performance side. I've seen it for myself, doing well within the challenges, budgetary constraints. I think that's a message you must send home, that we can only ask you to keep up, to keep the fires burning within the current constraints. We are aware of the challenges. We've discussed them with the chiefs of the different services. And we've had meetings with them. And so what you have presented to us is high level. We've dealt with what it means in terms of efforts to have the budget that this budget that they are having, in terms of the Navy and in terms of the Army. I think, colleagues, that answer you, Bakshele, but I don't know does this, I'm saying they've explained it. You still want more explanation on it?
I want to list across something and say that we are in a hurry to close the meeting.
I'm not too sure if there's anything. I'm saying they've dealt with the question before, but please just you may just run through it. I don't want him to feel that I'm closing him out, and you may just deal with it.
Chairperson, I think you covered very, very well. You covered very, very well that the solution, that this meeting that we are pushing for, we are banking on it to say it will able to assist us, the meetings that we have. In the meantime, we'll monitor the expenditure like nobody else.
Because
thank you.
Because it's at a political level, let me just look at the political aid. The deputy head of the department, just to comment on this one. I think the appeal now, you can hear, is to the higher authorities. The ministers met, and the three ministers met, and they agreed that the situation is dire, and it's got to be attended to. But when the resource envelope came, for the new, at least in the, in fact, when the figures for the MTF came, it became clear to the officials that it means that this meeting didn't have much impact on what they want to see happening. I mean, even though they agree that the situation is dire and it's got to be improved, but the cuts are suggesting, that the message was not heard. Hence, they are requesting for a meeting with the commandant. In other words, with the president. And do you want to make a comment on that before we pass on that?
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. The matter around the dire financials of our defence function has been discussed thoroughly, and the ministry resolved to ask for an engagement with the Treasury with the participation of the of the President. That meeting has not happened. What the department shared with the committee today of what has transpired around this challenge were efforts made before this administration, engagements that happened in the months around, as he said, May and April. That is my understanding. This decision that we are referring to, it's a decision which was taken now upon the resumption of duties in the ministry following the elections, that this matter needs to be given priority in the manner in which members are commenting. The suggestion by Honorable Olomisa, it is
been my understanding that following that meeting with the President and Treasury, depending on how it ends in terms of its recommendation, a cabinet memo obviously will then be generated to take the matter to cabinet for cabinet's, you know, discussion and a decision on it. But that's where the situation is. I mean, that is the situation, and that's where the matter is at now. If I may just, Chair, before we step, you know, down on this report, just make the point that, you know, they are now and again in our conversations, things that indicate that we are not necessarily on the same page in our understanding of what we are talking about. And at times, I'm just, you know, anxious that the concerns and the anxieties of members of the committee could be avoided or minimized if we were actually communicating in a way that makes things very easy to understand. I can give an example. For instance, the point that was raised by Honorable Member Matthias around about the recruitment that is referred to in slide 17 of MSDS members. He was saying that wouldn't it be proper that that recruitment be done from the reserve force? But it is clear that you know, the understanding of the reserve force of the honourable member is not correct. The reserves in the Defence Force are not the same as the reserves that you want in policing. You know, in policing you have that practice where you have people who serve as police reserves. When you recruit for purposes of, you know, bringing people into the system itself, you can target the police reserves. But the reserves that we are talking about in the Defence Force, we are talking of trained soldiers who have exited the system but who are being kept as a component that is not part of the regular force. So you can't recruit from that reserve in order to, you know, to replenish your ranks. I'm just saying that it is those kind of, you know, easy matters which I can see that they cause anxiety among members of the committee, but it is just a question of, you know, communicating and understanding, you know, our, you know, each other and the things the same, so that we can then spend more time in the most difficult issues of this function in government. Thanks.
All right, colleagues. Thank you very much. So we'll end it at that. The next presentation to deal with, it's from the Department of Military Veterans. May I invite them to come forward to the presentation. Thank you very much, colleagues.